With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. What to do about short-term rentals remains an open question in Oneida County. Discussion on the matter took place before the Oneida County Board this week. Currently in Oneida County, those looking for a short-term rental are required to book a full week. Jackie Sharp, executive director of the Three Lakes Visitors Bureau, told the board there's a simple fix.
Allow one rental per seven-day period, regardless of whether it's for two nights or for six. It does not change density. It does not increase turnover. It keeps the existing cap of 52 rentals per year exactly as it is. What it does do is give property owners the flexibility to host shorter stays, like weekends, without adding any more guests, activity, or traffic than is currently permitted.
County Board Member Bill Freed has heard from people opposed to that idea.
If any of you can tell me you've had someone that lives in a single family call you to support this, I'd love to hear that, because I've had no one, not one person, ask me to change any of the wording. The discussion is always, how can we limit it more? How can we get it out of single family?
One idea that has been floated would be to create another zoning district that towns could adopt to allow for shorter-term stays. However, concerns were raised by some about the process towns need to go through to adopt a new district and about the possibility of a patchwork of rules in the county. The board did have a resolution before it, and the options were explained.
You can vote this down, and then the question is, which way does this go? Does the committee have to do something? Coming back with just a resolution that says we want these one rental per 7 days, or do they come back with something different? That would be the two options if you vote against this resolution. If you vote for this resolution, status quo, everything's done, ordinance is staying as it is.
The board did vote down the resolution, leaving the door open for the Planning and Development Committee to have further discussions. A house fire in central Wisconsin killed one person and left another in critical condition. A release from the Adams County Sheriff's Office says the fire happened in Easton Thursday morning at 1:40 a.m. One person escaped but was critically injured and airlifted to UW Health University Hospital in Madison. Firefighters found another person dead inside the home. The cause is under investigation and the home is considered a total loss. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Rhinelander area residents are invited to participate in the Walk to End Alzheimer's Saturday. The event takes place at the Hodag Dome in Rhinelander. Jim Brust, Walk to End Alzheimer's Rhinelander chair, says what makes the event unique is the way it unites the community. He says when people walk together, they remind each other that no one is facing Alzheimer's alone. More than 7 million Americans are currently living with Alzheimer's, which is one of the nation's leading causes of death. Over 11 million family members and friends provide unpaid care for those affected. Doors for the event open at 8:30 Saturday morning, with the walk beginning at 10 a.m. The catchphrase, "It takes a village to raise a child," is taking on new meaning as parents in Wisconsin and across the country are more stressed than ever. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
One in four Wisconsinites say they don't get the social and emotional support they need, according to a University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee report. And mothers and single parents are more likely to experience feelings of loneliness. Professor Liz Sharda with Hope College says parenting stress represents a mismatch between demands and available resources, exacerbated by self-reliant nuclear family models.
So this expectation that we have to do it all, that we have to be everything for our children and for our family system. And those expectations are kind of operating in a context of a real decrease in social connection and increase in loneliness.
Sharda says moving back to a society that embraces collective care could help to ease the burden on parents. That includes building support networks before they're urgently needed and shifting expectations about parenting to ensure both caregivers and children are getting the support they need. Collective care is grounded in interdependence and belonging and involves seeing others' well-being as a shared responsibility rather than an individual burden. This can range from formal arrangements such as co-housing communities to informal neighbor relationships. Although current disparities to access exist, Sharda explains how this approach has roots in marginalized communities who historically relied on each other to meet needs.
This is how we parented for millennia. Families raised their children not in isolated units, but in clans. And the adult to child ratio in those groups is way different than what we even consider a good ratio in like a child care center now.
Sharda says families with stronger connections to others demonstrate greater resilience in handling both daily stress and crises. She emphasizes the value of having multiple people committed to a child's well-being, offering diverse strengths. Sharda stresses that this parenting epidemic needs macro-level solutions.
We also need like systemic and structural changes too. We need support for policies that make connection possible.
I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
Opinions are strong, but little is known about the Trump administration's plan to reorganize the U.S. Department of Agriculture. As Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports, USDA has extended the comment period through the end of the month.
Basically, the USDA would spread more than half its positions currently in Washington among five cities, including Kansas City and Indianapolis, where the jobs would be closer to farmers and pay less. Karen Perry Sillerman with the Union of Concerned Scientists says the USDA has already lost more than 16,000 employees this year, and the shakeup would trigger another round of departures.
When you make it hard for people to do their jobs on behalf of the American public, you lose those people. And we've seen this before.
In the first Trump administration, the USDA moved two agencies to Kansas City. More than half the employees quit, the agencies were hobbled, and ultimately moved back to Washington. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Frank Morris.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.